Yeah, folks, let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 8, we've already gotten into it a ways. Chapter 8 is a chapter here that begins with the opening of the seventh seal. And we remember the seventh seal book that John saw in the hand of the one that sat on the throne in chapter 5 after John was caught up from the earth to heaven. And this is after the church age is over. This is after the Lord has raptured out his people in chapter 4. Chapter 5, the scene around the throne in heaven. Chapter 6, the seven seal book that was in the hand of the one that sat on the throne is opened by the Lamb that was slain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's seven seals are being opened. Six of those seals were opened at the end of chapter 6. And chapter 7, no seals were opened. It was a parenthetical chapter coming in between chapter 6 and chapter 8. And then as we begin in chapter 8, we find the seventh seal is opened, and then it contains a series of sevens itself. And those sevens are the seven angels blowing the trumpets. And as they sound, judgment falls on the earth. Now, we need to understand our setting. If you're saved, you're not going to be here during this time. You've already been caught out. If you're not saved, it could be very quickly that you could be in the midst of the very stuff that we're hearing about and studying here in the book of Revelation. And that's the grace Sister Harvey was singing about. We're saved by grace. Bless God, we're going to be raptured by grace. I'm glad, you know, some folks teach, well, you got to be faithful to get in the rapture. Well, the truth is, if it depended on you and I, we'd all be left behind. The truth is, it's all to him, all the glory to him. And in chapter 8, we begin to have the seventh seal now containing the seven angels as they begin to sound the seven trumpets. And we got down through some of these. I'll review a little bit by starting in verse 8 of chapter 8. And it says, "And the second angel sounded, and there was a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And a third part of the sea became blood." Now you notice several third parts through here as judgment hits on the earth. "And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." Somebody says, what could do that? Well, if you're watching any of the TV on the History Channel, you find out they warn you every now and then over comets hitting and asteroids hitting and all of that sort of stuff. And could this be? Some of you have seen some of the programs. I don't know, many years back now, several years back, I brought up the point that the Mayan Indians had set the 2012 as the date of the end of the world. And I remember what got me going on that a little bit was I had a couple of reporters come to my office to ask me some questions. One reporter, really, and one cameraman. And they wanted to ask questions about what preachers believed about basically the second coming of Christ. So I was telling them a few things. And the reporter acted, it was a lady, acted like she might be understanding a little bit. But the cameraman, he was very skeptical. So he spoke up and started asking some questions. He said, "The only place you get that is out of the Bible." I said, "Well, of course, that's the best place." He said, "Well, can you tell me any place else where it's talking about the end of the world?" So I brought up the Mayan Indians and told him their calendar ended in 2012, and they didn't go any further because they said that was the end. I told him the Chinese had the same prediction. The Hopi Indians out west had the same prediction, and none of them knew each other, so maybe the devil was giving them the date. I didn't know. But it shook him a little bit. I could see that there were some sources besides the Bible that said things are going to end. They're not going to always go on just like they're going. Now, the Bible gives you the truth and gives you the detail and gives it to you from God's side, not from the devil's side. But anyway, this mountain falling here, some believe, is a fulfillment of the Mayan prophecy because they base their theory on astronomy. And they say the heavens are moving in a certain way, and the sun is fixing to go through a dark hole in the middle of the Milky Way, and that's going to bring this climax right on December the 21st, 2012. And you say you think something big's going to happen then? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say 2012, but what the Bible says is going to happen, whether it's related to that or not. And we read on down through here, you got a great mountain burning with fire in verse 8. You get on down here, you find a star in verse 10. It's got a name. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, capital W in your King James. You have a reference to that in Jeremiah 9. Wormwood is a poison. It's bitter. It's the word that was used in Russian when the nuclear reactor, the Chernobyl incident, took place and killed and poisoned a lot of folks and caused babies to be born deformed, and all that is still going on over there. Now this wormwood in verse 11 says the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were bitter. You understand that water is a necessity of life. I brought myself a little bottle of water because I've been fighting a cold for 3 days. I've seen all these preachers get up here with a glass of water and all that, you know, and once in a while you see one of them sip it. I've never had to do that. But I have once in a while. I wish I'd have had one. So this morning, and I didn't buy it, I stole it. It was back there in the office somewhere, and I have no idea who bought it, but anyway, I grabbed it this morning just in case, and I don't think it's been spiked or anything, but all joking aside, sometimes you can wet your throat and keep it going a little bit. Water's necessary to life, all life, and if the water becomes poison, that's a bad judgment, brother. That's a bad thing to happen. I've seen the time when I've had to drink some water to stay alive. I didn't want to drink. When I graduated high school, 100 years ago, I guess it was. Anyway, my boss woke me up on, you know, I'd done like any lost kid, not knowing the Lord. I went and spent 2 days at Daytona Beach after I graduated with a wild crowd, and we didn't sleep. And I got back home on what would have been Sunday night. It was actually Monday morning, probably about 1 a.m., got in bed. 4 a.m. my boss was knocking on the door. I never forget that. In that old house behind the hotel, Brother Lewis lived in one side of it. He was beating on the door, and I heard Mama go to the door, and he had a heavy voice. He said, "Get Mickey up. He's got to go to work." 4 a.m. That was my introduction to the world, brother, after I graduated high school. And he took me way over in his new Ford that morning to the East Coast. By the time the sun got up, we were on the East Coast over there, out in the biggest swamp you ever seen in your life. And I stayed there 6 weeks working out in there with a drag line and digging canals and stuff. Wild. And it was rough. We had an artesian well, but all it had in it was sulfur water. You could smell it 100 yards before you ever got to it, like rotten eggs. I don't mean a little sulfur. I mean much sulfur. And that was all we had to drink. They let it flow all the time. You had to have on boots up to almost your knees. You wade out there, and they had a tin cup on a post. You took the tin cup. Everybody drank out of it. I guess it was safe. The sulfur killed anything that we could have passed from one to the other, you know. But 6 weeks of that, and I'm not kidding you, I would hold my nose when I'd get within 50 feet of it and hold my breath, walk out there, get me a cup, drink it down, and walk far as I could before it took my fingers off my nose. It was bad. I can imagine what it's going to be when the water on earth gets poisoned. It's going to be something else. And that's what is predicted here during what we call the tribulation period. Now, if the saved have been called out, the day of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period, 7 years long, the last half of it being the worst part of it, it's going to be bad. God's going to be judging the earth. We read up here in around verse 4 where the prayers that people have sent up, and many of them are asking for God to judge those that mistreat them. You get over to chapter 6 and you see the souls under the altar, and they're asking God, "How long before you avenge us?" And God tells them to wait a while, but it is almost an example of storing up the prayers and then sending them back to earth in judgment. And that's what's going on here in the midst of chapter 8. Now, some current things are getting very close to some of this stuff that we're seeing. We're not living during the time this is happening, but it is very close. that makes us know that the trumpet to sound to get God's people out must be very close as we see some of this stuff developing. Now it says many men died of these waters because they were made bitter. And it tells us the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and the third part of them which was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, normal talk would say that was an eclipse. Eclipses are interesting things. They've always been scary to people, and if you ever watch one kind of close, it is kind of scary. When a real eclipse takes place, the chickens will go to roost. There'll be a little cool wind that'll blow. Just before that sun is totally covered by the moon passing in direction of it, it looks a little eerie. If you've ever observed one, and they tell you not to look at it with your naked eye, you're supposed to look through something else. But I've told you that three eclipses have been on the calendar here in the last 3 years. See if I can get it right. The three eclipses, August 1st was one of them, 28, 2008. July 22nd, 2009, and today, July 11th, 2010, is the third one. Now, you're not going to see it today unless you're in the South Pacific. You'd have to be down on the Cook Islands or Easter Island, because it'll be a narrow band of it that'll come across and mainly be over the ocean. The interesting thing about these three eclipses, and today would be one of them, and I know some of y'all, you can do so much magic on your computer. Maybe you can push it up and get a look at it today. I don't know whether you can or not. But today, and again, I don't know the time. You got to allow for the difference in the time of South Pacific in here. But on July the 11th, which is today, the third one. Interesting thing about them as they relate to Israel is this. Like I say, eclipses in the past, comets and so forth, have been omens to a lot of people. They were fearful of them. Interesting about these three eclipses, when they have occurred, each one of them, 1 year apart, have introduced the month of Av for the Jews. That's a month that the Jews fear and dread, because the bad things of history has always happened to the Jews on the month of Av. The ninth of Av is the most fearsome day of the 21 days that they call the fearsome days. Well, I may have to open this, I'm not sure. Anyway, hope is not bitter. Try to do this. I don't know. It tastes like Georgia water to me. Anyway, this particular day is a dreaded day with the Jews. The ninth of Av, Tish B'Av, as they call it in the Hebrew. Because so many bad things have happened to them. Now, I mentioned this to you last week, and I, by memory, cited off a few things, but I picked up a note that I had stored. I thought I'd lost it when I lost a bunch of notes at a motel, but apparently I've got this one. Let me read some of it to you, and I'm not much at reading and here on it, but in 1994, the Shoemaker Levy 9 comet collided with the fifth planet of our solar system, Jupiter. By the way, I told you that date was predicted in the Bible codes. If you want to ever check out the Bible codes, that was something before it happened. Science knew it was happening because they knew it was going and knew how many miles it had to go and what speed it was traveling, so it knew what time it was going to hit. Now, this one hit on that date with the Jews. And the comet began its fiery display on the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av. It was therefore named the Tish B'Av, or the ninth of Av comet. That happened in July 17th, 1994. I'm not going to read all of it because of time, but it talks about how there's always with the Orthodox Jews a mourning in their synagogues, and how they go with dim candles and not lights, and how they take a black cloth and lay it over the over the scroll on the altar, how they read from the book that you and I have in the Bible, the book of Lamentations. You remember by Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, Lamentations pronounced all the sorrow. It's a book of sorrow. And it's read in a low, mournful voice in the synagogue during this month of our time. They deny themselves, fasting, of course. Everything they do is designed to help them remember this is a terrible time in the history and tragedy of Israel. Now, if you go back in Israel's history, you come up with some things. It was a fast day, and it started to begin with when Moses came down off the mount with the Ten Commandments. Remember? What did he find the people doing when he got down there? Dancing around a golden calf, remember? And this was a bad scene. A lot of folks lost their life over it as God's judgment to fail. The next date that makes this such a bad month was when they sent the 12 spies in to the promised land, and 10 of them came back saying the giants are there and we can't go. And so the Israelites lost their faith and spun their wheels for 40 years in the desert. Remember the story? So that was on the month of Ah. And that would have been early doings, but it continued to always have the bad tragedies hit on that month. For instance, the destruction of the first temple. Now, the first temple in the Bible was built by Solomon, but it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC, and that was the date. Later on, it was rebuilt even larger by King Herod, and that's the one you read about in the Bible that Jesus ministered in, the Herod's temple. And guess what? When the Romans come in 70 AD and destroyed that temple, same date, the 9th of Ah. See, too much to be a coincidence. That's why the Jews mourn and all over it. And it continues to be a pattern that follows through. Now, I got a list here I could read to you, time allowed. I'll read some of it. 10 spies returned with a bad report, that date. The Babylonians destroyed Solomon's temple, that date. AD 70, Titus destroyed the temple. You can check it out in Josephus, AD 70. In 71, the Romans ravaged Jerusalem, fulfilling Micah's prophecy. The Bar Kokhba revolt was crushed on this date. 1096, the Crusades began, killing many Jews. 1290, all Jews were expelled from England, this date. 1306, the Jews were expelled from France. 1492, you know, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's the way we remember 1492. On August 2nd, Jews were expelled from Spain. This was the 9th of Ah. And 1555, July 26, 9th of Ah, the ghetto was established in Rome. Rome and Pope Paul IV removed all Italian Jews to a foul-smelling area near the river, the Jewish ghetto. 1648, many Polish Jews were massacred. 1882, the pogroms against Russian Jews began. And you know, some of you, watch out for some of the foolishness that's taught on the so-called pogroms. Again, the bad time of massacre and Russian Jews being killed, 1882. 1914, World War I began on Tish B'Av. 1942, Hitler met with his chief advisors and military leaders on the date, this date in Germany to plan for the final solution. You know what the final solution was? That was the code word for destroying the Jews, the genocide against the Jews. And it goes on. Now, we bring it up today, to the date today, and it gets kind of interesting. You find that Israel, even right now, as we have the day of eclipse today, on the date, that Israel right now, in July, in 1st of August, the Jews have their backs against the wall now more than most of us are getting out of the news. I hope you understand that. And they are concerned, and the Orthodox Jews are mourning and they're fasting. I mean, some of them really carry it a long way. They even in the synagogue, they only have low seats. They're trying to show the humility before God. In the home, sometimes they'll actually turn the chairs over so nobody gets really comfortable in the home. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of trying to get right with God, a time of fasting, and so forth. You may not understand this in the news today, but there's been a great big shift of policy in America to the Palestinians, so-called, to the Muslims against the Jews. You don't have to be too smart to pick that up, see what's going on. Maybe you heard this week even that NASA over here on the Cape here in Florida has been given orders to incorporate and recognize and honor Islam in their program. Did you get that this week? Now that's amazing to me, honoring them. You say, well, I heard it was because in the early years had invented mathematical formulas and now let's use our head for something more than a hat rack. Let me say this to you. Nobody really knows where the alphabet come from. Nobody really knows where mathematics got started. Now you get all kind of ideas, and whoever's writing can, no, you can't prove one bit that you know the sources of any of them. But let me say this, the best history book you've got is the Bible. And the Bible deals with writing and words, and it deals with mathematics. And this Bible, the last newest book we say written in the Bible is the one we're studying, the book of Revelation. It was written around 90 AD, or only about 60 years after Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. Writing goes back with the Jews, the Old Testament and the Hebrew. The Jews believe the Hebrew language is the one that God used. Now don't get me wrong, God can use all languages and does use all languages. That's no problem with the Lord. He's the one that confused the tongues at the Tower of Babel, remember, and gave everybody their own language. So wouldn't you think he understood it if he gave it to man? Sure he does. So you don't have to know Hebrew or Greek to have the Word of God. God's given it to us in all languages, and what you've got in English here is just as powerful as the Hebrew or the Greek. So don't ever be confused by that. But at the same time, where did it start? It started with God. It started in the Garden of Eden. Now we're going to give the Muslims credit for mathematics and alphabet or something else, and because of the mathematics, we can send a rocket to the moon, so we ought to get them aboard. I wouldn't mind putting some of them aboard, but anyway, I'll mess you up here. Listen to me a minute. If you're going to give them credit, then go to the Aborigines in Australia. Go to Geronimo and his tribe in America. Go anywhere you want to. You need to understand, here's what I'm saying. God gave that stuff and preserved it, and we have it. And we had it before Muhammad ever existed. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, before he ever got his sword out and began to chop off heads and force people to worship the moon god, and that's what Allah was, the moon god, that happened in 600 to 700 AD. Book of Revelation is written in 90 AD 95, but we go all the way back to the five books of Moses. Man, we go back thousands of years before Islam was ever heard of or invented. Now we're going to give Islam credit for us reaching the moon. Let's give them credit for what they have done to America. Fly the planes into the towers. That's what they've done. And we got so many panty-waist preachers today that are afraid to say what I'm saying right now. It makes me almost ashamed to be a preacher when they won't stand up and say something, Scotty. Let this foolishness continue to go on. We don't owe them one cotton picking thing. And if you don't know what cotton picking means, go up to Georgia and find out. I'm just simply telling you, we've got a con going on in this country, and we are siding with the enemies of God, enemies of Christianity, enemies of the Jews, and that's what's happening right now. We have put an administration in the White House that is favoring a cult of Satan that will destroy America. And I know you're out there in radio land, you're about to bust a tube. Just go ahead and bust it. I know you're not supposed to say bust, you're supposed to say burst, but it busts it, amen? Just ridiculous. Just infuriates me to see that kind of stuff go on. It's crazy. But if you right now would check out how many Muslims are employed in the Pentagon and in the present administration, it'd make you think the leadership is Muslim, because that's the way it's leaning big time right now. That's the way it's going, to the detriment of America, to the destruction of America if it keeps going. I know the Lord is coming. I know this thing is pressure. Israel's in the pressure cooker right now, and I don't know what they're going to do. They're talking about right now bringing mobs of civilians against the borders to press in to Israel. Lebanon border, the Gaza Strip, of course, that's in the news, and Syria and so forth. I don't know. That may be the case. But anyway, the Orthodox Jews are highly disturbed that Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av, has got a bad omen. And even today, the eclipse, they see these three in a row, all three of them happening on the same date, seems to be more to them than just a coincidence. I don't know. I do know the Bible predicts some of this is going to take place. If you were to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah, I think I showed you this before, I'll look at it again. Isaiah chapter 13, pick it up with me in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 13. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Now that gives you your setting. The day of the Lord is what we're studying in the book of Revelation. Judgment, tribulation period, God judging. Dropping his judgment. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. Reading all this stuff that was going to happen, one-third the trees, one-third the ships in the ocean, so on. Lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. I didn't write it. There it is. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. Could call that an eclipse, I guess. The sun shall be darkened in his goings forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now these are heavenly signs that's going to be taking place. Verse 11. And here's where it really gets plain. And I will punish the world for their evil. Who's saying that? God's saying that through the prophet Isaiah. And the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the hardness of the terrible. I'm not going to keep on reading it, but down in verse 13, so he'll shake the heavens and the earth and remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of the host in the day of his fierce anger. Now, that's when God is bringing judgment on planet earth. He's taken his people out. The Christ rejectors are receiving the wrath of God. The God they said didn't exist is going to let them know he's there. Now, coming back to chapter 8, we find out that these judgments are falling under the angels as they blow, the seven angels blow the seven trumpets. Now, interesting to me is that these heavenly signs are converging, it seems like. These three eclipses, it could be coincidence, could have nothing to do with it. But I'm kind of interested in what the next few weeks are going to bring. I'm very interested in what the month of August is going to bring here. Something is building pretty fast. It is even interesting that some of the Arab countries, and there is some difference sometime in those different groups, of course, and mainly through the years they fought each other. And yet, you got at least two major factions, you understand that, in Islam. Both of them are still basic Islam, and the religion of the sword. In their so-called holy book, the Quran, you don't find the word love, and you don't find the word forgiveness. Big difference between that and the Bible. Big difference. And anyway, now Saudi Arabia and a few of these others that have become more, some folks want to say more civilized, enlightened, educated, whatever, they are fearing Iran getting the nuclear bomb. And they're even on the sides basically saying to us, to America, that we need to take Iran out because they fear them just like Israel's fearing them. And they go back in their history to the days that you read about in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. You go back to the days of Nebuchadnezzar. You go back to the days of Babylon. And you go back to the time when they feared Babylon coming in and ruling everything. And you go back to, and by the way, at that time, Iraq and Iran was basically the same same territory. The Medes and the Persians come in and conquered Babylon. You read that in the book of Daniel. And they still hate each other over that, all the way back to the Bible days. There's still a big split that goes on there. But right now, they're afraid for Iran to get the bomb. Are they going to get it? I think they already have it. I think it's just a matter of we're going to keep talking and talking and talking until they decide to use it. But there's great fear now in the Middle East over that. And I'm going to make a little bit of a prediction. Not, I can't back this up with the Bible. But it just may be. It just may be that even the U.S., if we back Israel in taking out the Iranian nuclear threat, don't get too excited that we've joined Israel's side, because we haven't. We're joining the other Muslim nations that fear Iran, and that is quite a possibility in thinking right now. But if you just watch the news a little bit, see the decisions coming out of the White House, you're going to watch that they're pro-Islam and anti-Jew Israel, and that is big time in the news right now. Now, I'm in the book of Revelation here. I'm seeing God's judgment's gonna fall. One thing the book of Revelation tells me, it tells me who wins. It tells me that will not go but so far before God finally intercedes. And so I'm not trying to scare anybody or be pessimistic. I just am a Bible believer. I believe what God wrote, he's going to fulfill. And I believe if you read it much, keep up with what's going on currently, you can see this stuff as it shapes up. The good news is that we're getting close. And the best news I can tell you today is if you're saved, and that is that you could be called out of here anytime. The worst news I can tell you is if you've got lost ones that's you love, it's lost, that's bad news. They're going to be left behind. And you need to tell them about Jesus while you can. I finish up the chapter now, verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Got three more angels yet to sound. Under each of these four that's already sounded, judgment fell of certain kinds. Interesting that God says, woe, 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 three times. Often you'll find in the Bible where God says something three times. He says, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Old Sam Jones, the evangelist of years gone by, somebody asked him, said, Sam, what does God mean when he says, woe? He says, that's simple. He means stop. That's what you say to the horse. Whoa. God's been saying to man to woe for a long time. But he just keeps on going his way. He doesn't do his own thing any way that he wants to. And the woes, and we know the word woe here is basically saying something bad's fixing to happen to you. Woe. Something bad's going to happen. My grandma used to say to Harvey and I when we were kids, and she was fussing after, sometimes she'd say, whoa. We meant not only stop, but look out, something bad's coming. And that's what God is saying here. And the truth of the matter is, the only ones today that shouldn't be afraid are those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you know him today. Current events are casting their shadow over what God said would come. And the only good side of it is, good news of it is to be on the right side. Amen. All right, my time's up. I don't even know if I want to read this Sunday school report. I tell you what, we have really hit the bottom here in the summer. I guess I'll go ahead and be honest and do it. No, I won't. 871 in Sunday school, that's the lowest it's been, I don't know, in a long, long time.